It's good to see you all here tonight. This is a good group this evening. Looking forward to opening God's Word with you here in just a moment. We're going to be in Deuteronomy chapter 34, excuse me. And, you know, we're really at a point this evening and at this point in our journey of being without a pastor for more than half of this year. So it's kind of a pivot point. I don't know if you all have felt that or sensed that. It's been a great journey in these past few months to be able to watch the church be the church. A great spirit-filled worship, times of worship with Dr. Kelly, other people who have filled the pulpit, amen. Dr. Eliff and others who have been with us, James Lankford, my soul, Anthony Jordan, what a blessing. I'm looking forward to others who will be with us in the future. We've been blessed, really haven't skipped a beat. And we thank the Lord for that. In other ways, we've made critical decisions as a church together. You all, we've made decisions together with the search committee, with the transition council, with other forms of business. We've called a staff member without a pastor. Amen? I mean, the Lord continues to do great things among us and through us. We have a group of 35 that have been sent out from us that are serving internationally right now. We've had vacation Bible school and camps and super summer. We've had decisions and baptisms. It's been so good. What a good season. We're strong in many ways. Strong financially, which also should get an amen. It's just been a fulfilling season to watch the Lord help us understand what it means to be the church. Aren't you grateful as well for Dr. Kelly's focus as he launched us this morning to move out in this vessel together in the book of Acts to be able to look through what it means to be the church? But I think it was probably about a month ago, somewhere around in May, that it seemed like, I don't know if you all experienced this, but where we kind of let off the gas pedal a little bit, it's kind of like, oh, you know what? I think we're making it, you know? We're floating. We're not sinking. You know, there haven't been any fights in business meetings. Don't want that ever. But, you know, where there's this sense of, you know, I think we're hanging in there. We're moving along okay, which is true. And I wouldn't want to change a thing about that. But it's within this season that I think the Lord is going to challenge us to be able to reflect in this in-between season of what he might want to teach us as a church family. A couple of months ago, we had our spring staff retreat. I've got a picture of us, I think. See, we always have a couple of characters. See Ray Anderson and Jeff hanging out in the background? But there's about 30 of us that gathered up down at the finish line tower down by the river, which is just a really cool complex. And I invited Brett Silvey to be with us from the BGCO, the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma. Invited him to come and share with us as a staff about change and how to be able to navigate change. And he shared from a book from a fella, William Bridges, who wrote a book called Managing Change. And it's within that study that we were able to be heartened about this season that we're in and what it looks like. Because in the end, and I know that I'm preaching to the choir in this group, change is going to happen. I'm surprised I didn't get an amen on that one. Hey, we all know in this room that whether we like it or not, and whether we like the changes or not, changes will happen, right? Let me show you a quick pic of my precious ones. Yeah, that's Emily and Caleb right there. That's what they look like. And this is about, this is some months after we came to Quail Springs. But you know, Emily was like 4 months old. And now they look like this. They're grown. Caleb's taller than me. Emily got her braces off. I mean, there's just change. Like, I want to capture that moment. Or I want to capture the coonskin cap moment just a moment ago that you saw in that picture. But there's no way to really cling to that. Change is coming for us. Now, we can look at that picture and see that within just a few years, Jennifer and I will be empty nesters. So we can't change that. But we can walk through the transitions, and how can we do that well? And that's what came out in our study as a staff. And actually, as we look through this study with Bridges, as he shares these things, change doesn't do you in, the transitions do. Like, changes are going to happen. It's how we transition. In other words, we try to manage change and ignore transitions, but we cannot manage change. We can manage transitions. Like, I can manage that navigation through it. What am I going to do with the changes that are coming at us? He also shared this. I find it interesting. Transitions, change, the transitions, they begin with an ending and they end with a beginning. So with transition, you see this. There's an ending, there's a losing, there's a letting go, there's a neutral period, and then there's a new beginning. So with transition, with change, we know that what's going to happen is that there's going to be an ending, a losing, a letting go. There's going to be a kind of a neutral zone, and then there's going to be a new beginning. The mental image was shared that it's kind of like a trapeze athlete. You've got the one big pole on this side with the swing. You've got another big pole over here with the swing that's on it. And this trapeze artist or athlete swinging on one, he's going to have to let go of that one at one point, have a neutral zone, and then grab on to the next one. I feel that way. I feel like we've let go in one sense, that change has come, that we've let go, that we're kind of flying through the air, and that at some point we're grabbing on to a new normal, a change that will be coming for us. I believe that for us as a church, as a new pastor comes, that there's going to be an excitement that happens with that, that that spools up and stirs up those things, an energy. But with that energy is going to come the changes. I've been in church work for quite a while now. Next year will be my 20th full-time year, 2020. I've been in church work for 30 years. It's been interesting to watch in church life as pastors transition, or as you look at a church's history, you can see that different seasons happen, different chapters happen with different pastors. At one church where I served, we could look back at pastors before that had encouraged the church to be making some changes, and in particular about the facilities and about their location. One pastor was able to share that with the church and say, look, we're going to have to address it at some point. And to some degree, that was met with resistance. But then he moved on. Another pastor came, and they actually were beginning to embrace that kind of change, beginning to purchase property and make those moves. And then another pastor came who helped them to be able to do that. Have you sensed that before with churches, where change has happened with different people in different ways? It's happened here at Quail Springs Baptist Church. Dr. Rupert Naney, back in 1950, he planted the church, helped establish the church on May and Grand Avenue. Charlie Graves came after Dr. Naney. With that growth that happened with Dr. Graves, they knew at some point that they would need to move, and they made that choice to move out here in the early 80s. Thank the Lord, right? That they made that bold step of faith to move to this place. And then as Hans came, Dr. Dillbeck, really the expansion of this place and ministry in many different ways. So it's exciting for me to think about the next pastor that's coming here to Quail Springs, because it very well could be this, that the change that happens for us is not about moving location, but that we move in place somehow. We may have to pack our boxes in some of the ways that we do things here at Quail Springs to be ready to move in some way. Does that make sense? That the Lord may challenge us in different ways to reach our community with the gospel. And I'm not talking about wholesale changes with ecclesiology and doctrine. That's not what I'm talking about. But aggressive changes for the future that might be before us. Tonight, as we look to the scripture passages in Deuteronomy 34 and that first chapter of Joshua, what we're able to read through here, and what I want you to be mindful of as we read through these passages, these verses, because I want you to hear them. I want you to think through this issue of change and transition. And listen to this. Listen for issues that relate to letting go, ending particular chapters, even neutral zones, neutral spaces, and then new beginnings. What does that look like in the context of the story that we'll look at from God's Word this evening? Deuteronomy 34, verse 1 says, "Now Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo to the top of Pisgah, which was opposite Jericho, and the Lord showed him all the land, Gilead as far as Dan, and all Naphtali, and the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, and all the land of Judah as far as the western sea, and the Negev and the plain in the valley of Jericho, the palm tree as far as Zoar. Then the Lord said to him, 'This is the land which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants. I have let you see it with your eyes, but you shall not go over there.' So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he, the Lord, buried him in the valley of the land of Moab, opposite Beth Peor. But no man knows his burial place to this day. Although Moses was 120 years old when he died, his eye was not dim, nor his vigor abated. So the sons of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. Then the days of weeping and mourning for Moses came to an end. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. And the sons of Israel listened to him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. Since that time, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face." And let's skip to Joshua, the first chapter. "Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I'm giving them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun, will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Then listen to this. "Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, 'Pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves. For within 3 days you are to cross this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess.'" Did you hear some change and transition within those passages, those verses? Did some of those pop out to you? Listen, Moses passed away. Was there a way to change that? No. He passed. He was buried. There was no way to change that event. But around that is where we see the transitions that happen. Moses passed away, but a new leader had been prepared by Moses. I love that, where it says that Moses had already affirmed Joshua by laying his hands on him. What a powerful thing that would have been. A powerful symbol to the people of passing on that power to Joshua. I like in this passage that we see that the people respectfully grieved for Moses. It says in verse 8 of Deuteronomy 34, So the sons of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. Then the days of weeping and mourning for Moses came to an end. There was a portion where the people were able to let go, to move forward, to move past, but to honor at the same time. It was highlighted as well that as Moses was buried, look in verse 6 of Deuteronomy 34, he was buried in the valley in the land of Moab, opposite Beth Peor, but no man knows his burial place to this day. Can you just imagine that with the stubbornness of the people that there might have been an altar or a shrine built where Moses was buried? Can you imagine that people might have been reluctant to move on past that place? Very well could be. But there was no burial marker for Moses in his grave. The people focused on the promises. They listened to and trusted God. And ultimately, they responded to their new leader in Joshua. Change and transition. We're in a neutral zone. We've let go of one pastor. And Brother Jim, we're praying for you and the committee, even as you work tonight, that the Lord leads us to our new pastor. We know that he's coming. But I think that it's during this season that, from what we see here, how I've been encouraged, that I want to encourage you all to do a few things during this season. So you ready? I've got a bunch of R's coming at you. One is to reflect. I'm grateful for what we see in this passage, that the people mourned Moses. And I want to say mourn in such a way to be able to say to honor. They took time to reflect on the goodness that had happened with the leaders that went before them. Listen, for Dr. Dilbeck, for Charlie Graves, but also listen, for Tobin Jackson and Aaron Robertson and Rusty McMullen, great people who have cycled through in ministry with us, that it's not about us getting clamped down and building a shrine, but it's about saying, God, thank you for them. Thank you for the experiences that we had with these people. We want to reflect. We want to honor because it helps us to be able to let go, to be able to transition. There are incredible lay people that have passed before us. The Glenda Bookers, the Mike Hoffmans, the Roy Foremans, the Jerry Gladdens, John McDonalds, Jim Hicks, Charlene Crowley, and I could go on and on and on with so many faithful people who have literally passed on to glory, that we can honor them. We can reflect on their lives. So as we make changes, it's not about clinging to the past, but it's about honoring those people who have gone before us, and we honor them by being willing to make changes, by crossing over the Jordan, by taking those places that were promised to us. Amen? So the Lord's given us this time, I believe, for us to be able to reflect. I also think that he's given this season as a church for us to be able to recommit. It has been a joy for me to, for us to be able to see together that without a pastor, that we are being the church. We heard that in Bobby Kelly's message this morning. Amen. We've watched many things happen for us as a church body that help us to be able to recommit to the simplicity of who we are as the people of God in gathering together on the Lord's Day, celebrating Jesus' resurrection, that we're able to bear one another's burdens and encourage one another on to love and good deeds and share the gospel all the while. The simplicity of who we are as the church, the body, the bride of Christ. But it could be that during this season that we use it as a time to be able to recommit to those things. That we see, Lord, that even in the absence of the pastor, these are the things that we're about as the people of God, as his church. Help us to commit to those things. So we get to reflect during this season. We get to recommit to what the Lord has called us to be and do as the church. I believe that it's also a season, as we swing from pole to pole, for us to be restored. To be restored. Joshua 1:11 says, "For Joshua passed through the midst of the camp and command the people, saying, 'Prepare provisions for yourselves, for within 3 days you are to cross this Jordan.'" In my time here at Quail Springs, we've experienced a lot together. There's been a lot of change for us. There have been a lot of things that we have done together that's caused us to expend our energy and to stretch our faith and to stretch ourselves financially. I believe that this season for us, as they were encouraged by Joshua's command here, was to get ready, get your provisions together. I think that this season for us allows us, just like with last year's theme, 2017, and breathe, is to prepare ourselves, to store up, to get ready, because I do believe that there are days of change that are coming before us. There will be new battles ahead. There will be new challenges for us in the future. So now's the time to get ourselves ready, to get our provisions ready. We can reflect, we can recommit to the work of the church, we can restore ourselves to get ready for the journey ahead, which is coming. I also believe that this gives us a season to be able to recalibrate, to be ready to make turns or changes with what we do. During the season that we're in right now, I don't know that there could be dramatic changes. Perhaps the Lord does impress on us. Some type of change comes our way. But it could be like with the changes that we experienced with the previous pastor, and certainly with the pastors in past here at Quail Springs, that there were times where the church had to recalibrate. Here's how we've been doing things, but now we're being challenged to do it like this. We're not going to meet at May and Grand anymore. We're going to meet at May and what will eventually be the Kilpatrick Turnpike. So there could be things that come in the future that's not about right and wrong or good and evil, but it's about doing something that's just slightly different. So I think for us in this season as a church, this kind of neutral zone, we get the opportunity to prepare ourselves to recalibrate to something different. I know that a few years ago, we had a great program that was happening here at Quail Springs, RAs and GAs. Listen, I'm a royal ambassador, and I will do my best to become a... So, I mean, we know about those programs, and those are all good. But the deal is that we made a change a few years ago to Quail Kids. We do Bible drill now on Wednesday nights. And you've seen those kids come up and do their drill before, and they're able to put that word of God in their heart. Listen, there's nothing wrong with RAs and GAs. There's nothing wrong with Quail Kids, but we made a recalibration, a different way to go. Church, I believe that this season, especially for those of us that are seated in this room, that we've got the opportunity to prepare ourselves to be able to be ready for and listen to, here's some changes that we could make as we move forward in reaching our community in the future. These are ministry changes that we could make, and will we be ready to listen to those and entertain those changes? I'm praying that we are, that we're ready for changes that come. And finally, I would say this. We've been able to reflect. We want to remember those who've gone before us. We want to recommit to those simple things that we're about as a church. We want to be restored and ready for the challenges that will come ahead. We want to be ready to consider changes that we may go slightly a different way, but in the midst of all of these passages that we read tonight are filled with God's promises. Filled. He says, look, Moses, look across there. That's the place I'm talking about. Now you're not going there, but that's it. That's the promised land. And here's what I'm going to do for these people. I've made a promise. When we turn the page to Joshua, as the Lord comes to him and encourages him to be strong and courageous, follow the word. Don't turn to the right or the left. Keep moving forward, because I promise that you will have success in everything that you do. Listen, for whatever's coming before us, church, we can trust the Lord's promises. This is his church. He will take care of us. We will have success as we follow him. Change is not easy, but it is coming, isn't it? And we can make choices in the midst of the changes that are coming to us. We can be ready. We can prepare ourselves in our heart to be able to make the transitions in God-honoring ways. Let me pray for us. God, we thank you tonight for the truth of your word, and we're grateful, Lord, that from the patriarchs, through the judges and the kings and the apostles in the early church, that we're able to read all through Scripture of change that happens with your people. God, we're also aware within your living word that there are changes that happen that transition well and others that don't. God, we thank you for the testimony of the change that happened that we read tonight between Moses and Joshua. And we pray, God, that tonight that you would open our hearts to embrace change, to be able to work to manage those transitions, Lord, in ways that honor you. God, I'm aware that in this room there could be those who have been dealt change that they never wanted or never anticipated. But I pray, God, that tonight that you would give them peace as they transition through those changes to trust you, to rely on you, to be their peace and their comfort, Lord. God, I pray for our church tonight in this season between pastors, that you would give us the opportunity to be able to reflect on those who have gone before us, that you'd give us the opportunity to be able to recommit to those things that you've called us to as a church, whether we have a pastor or not. I pray that you'd help us, Lord, as a church body, to be restored and refreshed in this season as we know that changes are likely to come, to be ready to tackle those things of a new vision and a new pace. So help us to be restored and refreshed to do that. I pray that you'd give us the boldness to recalibrate what we've done, that we'd be willing to change course. And Father, in the midst of all this, that we'd find our peace in you, that we can remember your promises, that you will always be with us. You'll never leave us. You'll never forsake us, Lord. So God, I thank you for my brothers and sisters in this room tonight. I pray that you'd help us to bring comfort to the rest of the church body as we make these transitions together. It could be that in this room tonight that there's someone who's never trusted Christ as your Savior. I'm going to be down front in just a moment. And I would want to encourage you that if you're in this room and you're not certain that if you died tonight that you would go to heaven, that as you stood in the Lord's presence, that you don't know that you would make entry into heaven, that place of peace and rest. Don't wait to make that decision. Please come forward tonight and speak with me about that. Maybe you've been waiting to join a church home, a place of mission and peace and encouragement. I'd want to encourage you to come forward tonight. Perhaps you want to come forward and pray for the search committee, or with the things that we've talked about in the midst of change and transition, you need to pray right where you are that the Lord would give you opportunity to use this time, this interim season, to be ready for what's ahead for us. As we stand together, I'd want to encourage you to act tonight. Let's stand together for this time of decision.